You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to the We Back edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. We have indeed returned from the bye week, and joining me in the beautiful, even more beautiful now that we got the mount situation figured out behind the TV, Bison Report Studios in lovely Horace, North Dakota, and that is the Sauce King himself, Zach Willis. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Always good to be back. Homecoming, USD football, there's a lot of good things happening this weekend. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think everybody is aware of the home slate, right? Everybody has criticized the home schedule, and there's not a ton that could have probably been done about it. But homecoming always adds a piece. And
yeah,
thankfully, it is one of the Dakota schools, the only one, really, on the home slate. So, yep. You know, you and I on the road, SDSU on the road, South Dakota State on the road. Obviously, we'll set up for a sweet situation next year, but this year is not next year. So the homecoming aspect of it, you know, hopefully will provide the juice as well, hopefully coming off a bye week. People, you know, maybe got some things done last Saturday, able to fit this bad boy into their time schedule.
The honey-do list, I don't know.
Right,
done.
Exactly. You went apple picking. Okay? we went to the pumpkin patch already, got it handled. So hopefully there's a big crowd. Let's pop real briefly into the news. There's not a ton of news. I did want to sort of just touch on, I guess, the report that Carson Wentz had reached out to the Jets.
Yeah.
And the Jets kind of told him thanks, but no thanks. It might be time potentially for Carson to, I don't know, look at that next step, whether it's coaching or broadcasting or, you know, whatever it may be. Obviously, the Audience of One Foundation does tremendous things. His nonprofit stuff will hopefully continue on. But he was always a guy that sort of had demands on his own locker room, in the sense of, like, I've never really seen him as a number two quarterback. And it sort of appears that the league has certainly agreed that Carson Wentz is for sure one of the best 64 quarterbacks alive.
Yeah.
But at this time, they're not willing to have him come in and be their number two. And whether that's for locker room division reasons, not that he's a bad guy, but, like, if you're looking for Carson Wentz to be your number two, you probably don't have, like, that top level number one guy. And so if your number one starts struggling, do people start calling for Carson? You know, things of that nature. Because if he's, you know, maybe the somewhere between the 26th and, like, 35th best QB right now.
Yeah.
He's either one of the better backups in the league or kind of a low-end starter. And look, I think he was better than a low-end starter 2 years ago for the Colts. I think he was more like a league average guy. But last year in Washington was just not good. And you are what your film says you are.
Yeah. It's all such a weird situation because, one, I thought Carson was kind of transitioning into that next step, and then when he said he put his name in the hat along with Matt Ryan, which is objectively hilarious, that Matt just, like, hey, I'll do it too, I'm over here.
Matt,
isn't he in the booth right now?
Yeah, he's in the booth. And not only that, like, Cars can at least boogie around a little bit.
Matt Ryan's a statue.
People will die behind that Jets offensive line. I took so much, I mean, people know that I'm a Packers guy, right? Like, that's obvious. When they signed Cobb and Lazard, I was like, this offense might not be that good. And people, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Bob. I'm like, okay, But like they don't block people.
Right.
That is so underrated. Like PFF this morning gave Green Bay the number one offensive line in the league. I would take the Eagles. Eagles were two. I would take the Eagles O-line just because Green Bay's O-line doesn't move people. No, they do not let you touch the quarterback.
Right.
Which is king in the league.
Yeah, that's what you need in the
NFL.
You
know what I mean? But like the Jets never had that. And they certainly don't have it now that Dwayne Brown is hurt. Like they need either a quarterback that they don't care about, which they have.
He's playing quarterback right now. Yeah.
Or someone that can move, because you cannot. Look, there's a reason they had cut block stuff in that Rodgers hated in the Monday night game where he got hurt
on. Yeah. And that's why my kind of feelings on the Jets thing the whole time was, if this was Aaron Rodgers even 5 years ago, they're a lot scarier of an opponent. Yeah. But he's not moving like 30, 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers anymore. And obviously he doesn't have an Achilles. So
no, because he was always like, he wasn't Lamar.
Right.
But he could always do stuff, right? He's hard to sack, all you know, stuff beyond the thing. And then, you know, he beat you for 20 yards on a scramble and hit you with the belt, and make you real mad. Like he'd do that kind of stuff.
The weird thing is, what are the Jets trying to do? Because Saleh's getting up there and saying that Zach puts us in the best position to win. But they're signing Trevor Siemian, who is not a guy that, like, I think him and Zach Wilson are net neutral in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
Like, are you trying to win, and is it with Zach Wilson, or are you just sitting this year out hoping to get a good draft pick?
Right. It's not like they're trading for Trey or Fields where they're like, okay, you've done this wrong, we're going to get the most out of Trey Lance. You've done this wrong, we're going to get the most out of Justin Fields. Trevor Siemian's just not that guy.
Right.
And he's fine. I mean, I think he's probably a top 10 or 12 backup.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think he's in the conversation with the guy like Easton, like our guy here.
Yep.
Or obviously Jameis, who I thought actually played pretty well against Green Bay. They didn't score, but, like, he's a top mm-hmm. backup, obviously.
Easton on the Jets would be sick.
Yeah.
not because, well, he's a Charger, so I like that, but also I want Easton to be long and prosperous in the NFL, and that won't happen with the Jets, but...
No.
Be kind of sweet.
So now he's my fantasy quarterback. So I'm not. But like, if I could just get like a 2 week ankle tweak for Herbo, like nothing against his like well being, but maybe
he is the only thing I have in this life. Don't take that from me.
Just like a little soft spot in the schedule where we could get E in there for two games would be great.
A little shoulder soreness.
North Dakota State men's basketball kicking off practice. I've got the
media. That's crazy to me.
I got media advisory. The first three practices were at 5:30 a.m. and I email back and I'm like, "Who's coming? To the, like, why?"
That's why Dave did it.
I love you guys. I love you all.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be there at 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30 is early.
Anyway, I am though gonna check out practice on Friday afternoon.
Good stuff before
the homecoming parade. Very excited. For that, going to see kind of some of the new faces, and not that many new faces. I mean, this is a team that went to the Summit League Tournament Championship, and you know, that game certainly didn't go the way they wanted, but absolutely waffle stomping South Dakota State in Sioux Falls.
That's always fun.
That was fun. And you bring the whole crew back with the little tiny sort of exception that Grant Nelson plays in Alabama. Is that important? We'll find out.
Yeah.
But very excited to see Jeremiah Burke, the junior college kid that many are sort of penciling in there. Or, you know, certainly could go to Sam Hostreiter at the four position. Just excited to watch the guys play some 5-on-5, get up and down, and just I love Bison hoops, man. So I'm juiced up to check that out.
Yeah, it's always interesting too. And you know, like I'm a wrestling football guy, so hearing me talk about basketball is always kind of take it with a grain of salt. But it's always interesting when teams have that star guy that leaves for whatever reason in the pros,
draft or the league or whatever. Yep,
and you really get to see those five really solidify and see who the next guy is.
Yep.
And like sometimes they end up playing better team basketball in the long run.
Yeah. And I think we saw some of that. Like I think their best win last year was probably at Portland. And if I'm not mistaken, it is a game that Grant had to sit out. Look, does Grant Nelson playing for Alabama make the Bison better? No.
Right.
We're not saying that. But I am interested to see where it's like, Bowden Skunberg, you're him now.
Right.
Like, this is just your deal. And to Javis Miller, year two. And Damari Wheeler-Thomas, year two. And now Andrew Morgan is just the man in the middle.
Yep.
You know, and we'll see kind of how that works out. So, yeah, very exciting. Folks, this episode brought to you, of course, by Gateway Chevrolet, but also the fine people at Big Deck Barbecue. You've seen the green and yellow sweatshirts. Not going to lie, I bought three. Like, not to brag, but I bought three. My dad loves his crew neck. My wife and I rock in the hoodies.
Love it.
So we got the apparel and the sauce line.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything's good. Sauces, rubs, any new distribution you want to tell us about? Why don't you talk to people briefly?
Yeah. This is the time of the year where I'm glad I can come to a pod for an hour because outside of this, my hair is on fire. We're getting into, obviously, football season, which is one of our bigger times of the year, and then it's right into gift-giving season where it's, you know, strap it on, it's coming. But, no, nothing really new, but obviously just want to extend my gratitude to Bison Nation. They're a huge part of why we are where we are, and it's always cool to, you know, walk around tailgating, see the green and yellow shirts, and it's not my family. So it's just, you know, it's crazy to see people that aren't related to me supporting the brand and eternally grateful, and just wanted to shout them out. So
love that.
Yeah.
And of course, folks, the biggest reason we're looking for a Summit League title from the basketball team or the Bison to get the Natty back is we want to roll that CG back out there.
Yeah. Yep. We need a title though.
We can't
do it without that.
Let's dive into the non-conference for just a little bit prior to the bye week. I've had some time to reflect, and you know, I know, you know what? I'm not even going to touch it. I was going to admit, there have been...
There you go, touching.
Stories. There have been stories about how Cam Miller is the highest graded quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
Wouldn't ever wonder where people would start to want to do that kind of analysis or where that would come from.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Anyway.
a hat tip would be nice. Just something.
At any rate. He's so good, man.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, you keep, like, the Ferrari's in the garage. We understand that the Ferrari's in the garage, but
yeah.
Oh, like, he is getting in, and especially because I think he has kind of like maybe a blend between like Easton and Brock's arm talent. He's not Carson. He's not Trey.
Yeah.
And you can see that on some of those throws to the far hash, but like some of those throws to the far hash just keep like floating over defenders' fingertips. Like, his ball placement is just ridiculous right now.
His strengths, and this is the separation in what I've seen in Cam in years previous, is he's playing to his strengths right now. He's not trying to throw it through people. And I was shocked against UCA when he's unloading 60-yard balls to Braylon. I'm like, where was that? I didn't know he had that in him. But he's playing so confident right now, and you can see it on the field and how – obviously, the preparation from the coaching staff is getting and affecting him because he's playing with, like, some real dog in him. It's not just, like, Cam trying to complete passes and being game manager. He's out there to snap necks and win football games.
He really is. And I think, you know, we saw peak Cam in the first half against South Dakota State last year.
Yeah.
Like, that's – when he's out there – I mean, I honestly just wonder how the season goes differently, how everything sort of goes differently if he doesn't get flagged for the bow and arrow because
– sure.
He was just nuclear on one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they call the Cole Payton play, and he throws the pick, and
I don't want to think about that game.
Okay, but make no mistake. If they don't throw that penalty, NDSU wins that game.
Absolutely.
They win that game. They might win that game going away, but they do win that game. And maybe they still lose in Frisco. I mean, that's a lot of wish casting, and Hunter gets hurt and all those things, right? But ultimately, like, his level of play, I think all season has sort of been first half last year against South Dakota State, which is crazy to watch.
Yeah, the arrow call too, like, what does that do to his psyche as him, like, playing with a little bit of swagger? Like, does that take it out of his hands of, like, can I be this guy?
Right.
And I think they've fully embraced Cam and, like, hey, we'll sprinkle in the Ferrari, but, like, let's go with you right now. And he's completing, like, 80% of his passes.
It's insane.
He's ridiculous.
It's insane. I mean, you even look at some of the, like, completion percentage benchmarks that Hedberg has talked about or stuff that Easton hit basically as a junior, senior, Trey, Carson, you know, all leaguers, right?
Yeah.
And just Cam, so impressive. I mean, he is such a good college quarterback, and that sounds like a backhanded compliment, and I get that, I do, but he is such a high-level FCS quarterback, and I think, you know, I wish NDSU fans could take a second to understand, like, go look for just an example, and I know I bag on these guys planning, but you know what? I'll bag on their main rival also.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count Russell Wilson because he shouldn't count. Look at Minnesota and Wisconsin's programs. Understand what they're about. Shoot, throw Iowa in there.
Yeah.
Look at Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. look at the last 25 years and look at their quarterbacks from strictly a pro prospect
Nebraska
standpoint.
Yeah.
And how far NDSU is ahead of those guys.
Yeah.
And understand that for them to go Carson, Brock camp invite,
mm-hmm.
Carson, number two pick.
Yeah.
Easton, fifth round pick. Trey,
third overall
pick. Like, that's insane. And I understand, like, Carson's career hasn't gone the way we wanted. Trey's career, far too early to tell, but has certainly not gone the way we wanted.
Right.
It largely doesn't matter. We're talking about a talent level.
Yeah, whatever happens past NDSU doesn't matter.
Exactly. And Trey, for my money, had the best freshman season of any FCS player ever, mm-hmm. of all time ever.
Yeah.
So the point that I'm making is the bar is incredibly high for Cam to clear,
mm-hmm.
and he's still sort of clearing it. Yeah. But he's not getting the appreciation because the standard is just in the absolute sky.
Yeah, that's my thing, is the mix of that and the fact that Cole Payton is still sitting behind him. It's like, give this guy his flowers right now while he's here.
Yeah.
Because outside of the Missouri Valley, look at the Big Ten. How many of those schools would want Cam right now?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think it's a higher percentage than people think. Iowa is fighting for their offensive coordinator's job, and he still cannot score points because of quarterback play.
Right.
In part of it. And we have Cam.
Where's Cam from?
Iowa.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Sure is.
One other quick note on the non-con side, Eastern Washington and Central Arkansas ended up being ranked.
Yeah.
So that from a sort of game theory perspective is interesting. Just like, you're trying to take this NDSU, and we'll do the same thing with South Dakota in the preview, but you're trying to take this NDSU non-con and make it objective and like, okay, what did these mean?
Mm-hmm.
And those two,
people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I talked about this non-con schedule being exciting to me because it's going to expose, NDSU's what they could characterize as weaknesses. And I think you saw that with UCA and still the tackling perspective there, which obviously I think we recap, but like some big time issues in the tackling game, and you're sharpening your knife against opponents that are actually good. And you're winning by 30-plus points in all three non-con games, and that's very exciting.
It is, and we'll get to this in a second. I'm going to just briefly talk about the like quarterback split between Cam and Cole, because I think we were there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my actually like favorite BR trips was that USD trip.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah.
You, me, and the legend Jake Stack.
Shout out.
Sioux City, Iowa. Love the Hard Rock. Just a night for the boys. This is great.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary, but yeah. Super fun. Yeah. Isn't that the one where we went to Kansas City for no reason beforehand?
Sure is.
Fantastic.
Right off of flying to Tucson together, and then right back.
Shout to, what was that place, Q39?
Yeah, and then Joe's KC. Also, shout out my wife for letting me do that. That was
and to mine, who has to watch like 12 kids when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Always shout out to my wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, we got off on a tangent there. Just babies and memories. Okay.
My life.
Yeah. but the point that I was trying to make is they gave a scare as heavy mm-hmm. underdogs, a real scare. I mean, you and I are like, are they fixing to lose this game? And that, coupled with a pretty impressive non-conference slate, I think you're going to get the whole menu, right, for the mm-hmm. offense. And so I'm very much always interested in how much do they use the Ferrari.
Yeah, and
that's the new nickname.
The Ferrari?
Yep, the Ferrari. I'm going with it.
What a sick nickname to be stuck with.
Yeah, the Ferrari.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Cole. Thanks, Zach, actually. But like, you're welcome.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into this game, too. And, like, historically, USD's been salty. And you talk about this, or we will talk about the defense that's coming up here in Fargo. But
yep.
Coach Nielsen is a really good college football coach and always has his team ready to go. You're not going to see like a walk through Missouri Valley. We know the teams. I don't have to say their names, where it's just like,
yeah,
you kind of roll the helmets out and you'll be fine. This is not one of those games.
Right. Are you worried about the tackling issues? I just grabbed the tackling grade.
Yeah.
Like as a screen grab from PFF College. And it's like, PFF stupid. Okay, fine. Like what? Go. Okay. Watch those three games.
Right.
You and I sitting in this after watching the film after Eastern Washington going, okay,
mm-hmm.
they got hats on hats. They got to the ball. They rallied. They tackled.
Yep.
Love it. And then couple things sort of here and there in game two. And then Central Arkansas is like, we got to get guys on the ground. And, yeah. And so is with obviously the way last season went, do you have concerns there?
No, I think especially coming off the bye week after UCA, it's one of those things where Coach Entz is like, hey, guess what you guys are doing all week? You're seeing live bodies and you're tackling people all week. And then you add in the fact that UCA just had exceptional ball carriers, which we're going to see in the Valley, but like,
I don't know why my brain went here, and this is a complete depart. We're departing.
Sure.
Shout out Bronny.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah. God.
We would have had to came in here and start it over if we forgot to shout out Bronny. He beat your guy Phil Fleck.
Oh,
I know you're rooting for U of M. That's what you texted us before the game started. But I'm like super happy for Bronny.
I think
they're like 31-10 in the fourth.
I think my text on Thursday was like, "I'm gonna be a menace if Bronny beats." Yeah. And I thought I actually behaved myself pretty well.
Yeah,
but
so cool.
No love lost for. I mean, there are not pictures of me at a U of M tailgate head to toe in gopher gear.
Head to toe is a little bit egregious. Sometimes you have to make business decisions.
Anyway, shout out to Bronny. So Matt talked about the young players. Like, we were just talking about tackling, and I was thinking about last year's defense and then who the coordinator yeah. was. And it's like, oh my God, Bronny.
Yeah.
So anyway, but just there's a full, guys, if you get a chance, like there is a full highlight. It's like 11 minutes. It's on YouTube of the Northwestern Minnesota. And because of the announcers do such a good job, like you can really feel the vibe of the comeback. Yeah. It is worth your 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. 100%. Ants talked about young players during Bison week, which would be, you know, they are spending this week prepping for USD. They did spend last week worrying about themselves.
Yeah.
He talked about some young players we have discussed on this show. I've written about it. Like, this is not a particularly deep team right now. Offensively, that's not actually true. They are using tons of bodies, although they're not doing that on the offensive line. But skill guys, they just, I mean, it just, okay.
And they're all dogs.
Oh my God. I mean, it's, hey, Raja, you take this one. No, now OJ, you take this one. Yeah. Now Tamarick, we're going to do this for you. And
Eli Green,
by the way, Eli Green, you're now maybe our best player. And like, yeah. By the way,
here's 6'7" Zach Mathis coming down the middle.
Yeah. Here's 6'7" Zach Mathis. And then when you're all sick of that, we're going to run Delta with Cole for an 80-yard touchdown. Like it is. Really, I mean, I cannot, and this is why you start to have a little bit of optimism about what could happen in Brookings and what could happen at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you game plan this NDSU offense, but
yeah,
the young guys during Bison week, Matt talked about, like, we're not using a ton of guys, and we tried to use this week to get a few guys ready. Who do you think they might be talking about? Like, who do we think has maybe a little bit more of a chance? My guy for sure is Jaquise Alexander. He's been mentioned at several times, high level recruit, and they are not using bodies at corner.
Yeah.
And he was in street clothes for all three non-cons. I looked, he was not suited up.
Right.
So they thought he would be able to go for UCA. He wasn't. Two more weeks, you would assume he's able to go. He's
probably ready to go.
So that's my one for sure. But any other guys that you're kind of thinking of?
I think that's a great one because obviously when, like, corners put on a lot of miles, and when you're not when you're not rotating them, that's tough on a guy's body, like, no matter how well you rehab or whatever.
100%.
And then you get in and play NDSU's defense where they're asked to do a lot in the run game, and like putting hats on hats, like it's a lot of mileage. And old guy JP Jane Price, like, he's not a young cat anymore, so like any snaps you can save for guys like him are great. But I don't know, I would like to see deeper rotation at the D tackle position. And then you had a story written about him today. Former West Fargo Packer, my guy Marcus Gulley. Where does he fit into, you know, downs 1 through 3 and not just on special teams? And he's played a little bit in Eastern Washington.
We've seen a lot of Logan Kopp, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it, but you're right.
I mean, build the depth anytime you can. And when you, it just is different when you get in and see Missouri volleyball. It doesn't matter if it's a high quality opponent or not, which I'm not saying USD is not, but it's something you just need to see live bullets of before it's like, hey, let's roll them out. So, and then my guys, I always want to see as many O linemen play as possible. So, you know, Hunter Pontius, Jake Rock is.
And that one to me is like interesting because they're not young. What more do you need to teach a Jake Rock and a Hunter Pontius in a bye week? That's more for like the Hayden Johnsons or like the young, the Lockerbie kid, like guys that were maybe thought highly of as maybe a redshirt freshman, maybe a redshirt sophomore here and there. And so that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, my biggest, like, even relating to my career, it wasn't, I knew everything front to back in the playbook. I knew the fundamentals. It was, can you prove where you fit into this scheme where it's like, are you ready to rotate six or seven in?
Right.
And taking snaps off of Jalen Sundell, Westerberg's young, as far as like play count in
Kubis
his career,
he's got to be 30.
Kubis is 400 years old and he's played 9,000 snaps. He's like approaching Nash Jensen level, but it's like, can you save 10 to 15 reps on those guys? And that makes a big difference in the long run.
Absolutely. Okay. Bison Report Radio brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Go see the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet on the I-29 Frenage Road. They have a phenomenal selection of new and used Silverados. It's fall weather. It's football weather. It's truck weather. Go see Brad Sather, John Cole, and the good people at Gateway Chevrolet. Love my Chevy Silverado, and they've got phenomenal, phenomenal programs going on right now. All right, we got about 15 minutes here. Let's dive into USD. But before we do that, the homecoming festivities. I got to tell you, Zach, I just will forever cherish last year's homecoming. We brought the kids down, and we I think we had the discussion, right, about the parade, right?
Yeah.
I liked it downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't.
Yeah.
It's not downtown anymore.
Right.
5:30, the main homecoming, you know, parade, etc. So much fun if you got kids. Like, yeah. I've dressed my kids up all up in their Bison gear.
Kids love
parades. Oh, man, it was great. It was super, super great, and I would just recommend it fully.
Homecoming is a week that no matter how old you get, you can capture a little bit of that college magic again. Like, whether it's the parade or early tailgating, it just feels like you're 21 drinking legally when you're of age to do so. Because that's when everybody starts drinking in college. But you get to capture that again. It's always fun. I'm excited for homecoming. And it's against a good team. We talked about, you know, attendance things and people showing up. USD is going to be salty, and I think it's a good game people will want to watch.
Yeah. By the way, Damian Lillard to the Bucks.
So. Oh, gross.
Sorry. We just had to get that. I don't know.
That's disgusting. I could have dealt with the Heat. I could have dealt with the Raptors.
I know. And
I've loved him being a Bull.
I've got I've got so much, like,
interrupted by a Woj bomb.
Well, like, obviously I have Wisconsin people, right? Like, I tweet nice things about the Bulls, and I get all these Packer fans that are both, like, anyway, yeah, don't love it. I'll be interested to see who's in that trade. That has to be every first-round pick.
Giannis.
Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, how can you keep Drew? This is not that podcast. We got to go. Yeah. Sorry. everyone wanted to talk about Aiden Bauman. Aiden Bauman's playing really well. Everybody knows, not everybody, I shouldn't say. Okay, lots of people know the story. Todd Bauman, Vikings quarterback, played at St. Cloud State.
Yeah.
Did the Bison dirty back in 1995.
Did bad things, yeah.
But exciting lefty, big kid. They turned to him later on in the season when things weren't going so well with Carson Kemp, and now he is their starting quarterback. Left-handed, talented guy.
Yeah.
Got some receivers he can sort of count on, but what are your thoughts after some of your Todd Bauman-related experiences?
Yeah, I think when you look at the passing game for USD, it's pretty cut and dry of who you need to really think about. It's Carter Bell, number 14, Jack Martin's number 15, and J.J. Galbraith, their tight end, number 82. Interesting nugget I found. They're responsible for 33 of his 38 receptions this season. So, I mean, it's pretty heavily weighted of who he's going to go with when they're throwing the ball. Not putting up spectacular numbers, but definitely a guy that can make you hurt if you're trying to take him lightly. So you look at those three guys catching the ball and, you know, shut down the big lefty, then they're stuck to their running game, which is by no means a weakness in their offensive game plan either.
No, and you know, we've had our battles with Travis Tice, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But it's just you wonder how to sort of, like, they had a competitive kind of like 35-10 loss to Mizzou, and Mizzou beats K-State. And so you're thinking Mizzou's maybe legitimate. And then their non-conference games, like Lamar, not a power by any stretch. And then, of course, you know, St. Thomas doesn't have scholarships. So it is tough to, you know, we were just talking about sort of quantifying NDSU's success in their own non-conference and, and kind of being impressed with some of that. I don't know how you do that with this USD non-con schedule and sort of managing expectations.
Yeah, I don't think you really take away that they're world beaters from their non-con, but it definitely shows that they're competent and can win football games. It might be against lesser opponents, but they didn't lose to those lesser opponents, so I think that's what you take away from it.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, again, we sort of have to quantify what NDSU did. 21.5-point favorites, I think that makes sense. You know, of course, the game in Vermilion last year didn't end with any kind of spread like that, but
that's a tough place to play.
I know, and like to my eyes, and you know, if it, there's probably not South Dakota State people listening to this specific one, but like
be real weirdos if they are.
Yeah, I mean, to my eyes, right now, like I gotta see them. I'm that's where I'm at right now. Like I have to see this team beat South Dakota State.
Right,
right.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the best team in FCS football is North Dakota State.
Yeah,
just what I have seen, and I watched. Really probably only the South Dakota State Montana State game because they played some just ridiculous nonsense earlier in the year that even whatever.
Yeah.
Can't even remember the one school's name. I think it was Western Oregon, and then
yeah, that sounds right.
Some other just nonsense. Anyway, I'm not trying to be critical because NDSU has some of that stuff in their own scheduling, but yeah, they're the best team that I have seen. So 21.5 at home on homecoming makes sense. To me, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going into NDSU's favor, and the 21.5 is an indication of how good the Bison are. It's not an indication of how how down USD is.
And specifically, like right now, it doesn't seem like anybody's going to keep NDSU out of the 40s on offense, which and that makes the gap, right? If you're not scoring all the time when you touch the ball.
Right.
Travis Tice, an old kind of Kubis-ish guy. Yeah. I feel like he's been there for a really long time, but he's a good back and he runs hard. And right now, NDSU's a team that's struggling a little bit to tackle.
Yep. It's 6 yards a pop in the last two games, and that's an indication of, you know, him not seeing a lot of contact before the line of scrimmage and, you know, him making people miss. So it's another test on what happened during Bison week to shore up some of that tackling against a good back. They are kind of shuffling around the USDO line. That last game against Lamar, some dudes got hurt. There's guys that have never played before that are playing different positions than they're listed on their roster. So it's definitely going to be interesting. And something historically that I remember USD struggling with is the noise in the dome. So how are they going to respond? Procedural issues, false starts, things like that. What advantage can Bison Nation give Code Green this weekend?
Hopefully they respond better than I did to getting Woj bombed.
Completely false start by you.
Shambles here. Carter Bell, so I remember for Spur a part of that Vermilion, Kansas City, whatever trip, being in Mr. Stack's house and doing a Zoom interview with our friend Jay Elson and asking him what in God's name is going on with Carter Bell, because he didn't have the season that I anticipated him having last year. One of my favorite non-Bison in the Valley. I love Carter Bell, and he is sort of back. Carter Bell, by the way, folks, is a receiver for USD who I really, really like and did not have the success last year that you might have thought. And I love the player, and I'm excited that he's playing well again. And he should, I think, especially with his propensity to line up in the slot, he's an interesting matchup for NDSU because NDSU has really shied away from going nickel.
Right.
So Julian against Carter Bell, Julian's got to think we just hate him.
Yeah.
Because I keep saying I love Julian, but I don't think I want to see him try to cover Carter Bell.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting part. If you're running nickel, do you sub Wiz in to cover the slot?
Or grab like a Ryan Jones or whatever to play that other safety spot, maybe.
Whoever rotates in you know, but then, I mean, that's what I mean with this USD team. They are multidimensional on offense where it's like, okay, you do that, light run boxes. Like, what happens at that point? How well are we plugging gaps and tackling?
And one thing I would like to see, just because I've seen him hit a little bit and I like it, and I've seen him get bit deep a couple times, and I don't love that. Like, I'm interested to see what Marcus Shepard could do in like a nickel role.
Sure.
I don't love his long speed or whatever it is that equates to him giving up stuff over the top.
Yeah.
he might be an interesting slot. Like if Jacquees can play outside and JP can play outside, maybe Marcus Shepard is an interesting inside corner. Like they used to use Jordan Champion in that way. Because Jordan Champion, everybody remembers Montana. He got beat deep in Montana a number of times. They move him inside. Now you've got safety help. You've got, you know, things of that nature. Maybe he's a Jordan Champion type player.
I'll take that.
I would too. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Defensively, Stephen Hillis's Pro Football Focus College's top graded Yote and a linebacker and a dog. I mean, he was that wasn't just Pro Football Focus College appreciating his work. He's a returning first team all leaguer. Good against the run and pass. You like the other linebacker as well. He's a little bit more susceptible to the pass, but going to be a long day at the office for the crew chiefs. And if these, you know, linemen can get off their linemen and up to backer, that's going to be important.
Yeah. Brock Mogensen, number 59, is the eighth player in USD history of 300 career tackles. So he's a thumper. And I told you if he was born in 1985, he's playing in the league.
Absolutely.
But we did look at the PFF numbers and obviously haven't backed it up with the real in-depth film to look at it. But he's allowing almost a perfect passer rating in the game. So that might be a mismatch we can take advantage of.
Yeah, the tight ends might get a little bit busy if they're matched up with him.
Ready for a crew chief party.
Absolutely. Miles Harden, one of my other favorite non-Bison in the Valley corner, made an unbelievable play last year.
Good football player.
In Vermillion. Really, really good football player. I love Miles Harden, man. And he's going to be fun to watch and could be an interesting matchup. I mean, NDSU so multiple, so diverse with their receivers.
Yep.
Be interesting to see kind of how USD deploys Harden. All right, we're right here, right at the time that I said we needed to close. Give me that score prediction.
I think we keep it rolling in the 40s. I'm going to go 41-24.
I've got NDSU 45, USD 20. I'm not convinced that the Bison defense is ready to keep people in the single digits. I want to see it. I got to see it. I think it's an improved group, but I got to see it. Thanks to Gateway Chevrolet. Thanks to Zach Willis. And thanks to Big Deck Barbecue Company. Have a great weekend and go Bison.